What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
So they spoke up, some of them, and they had questions and complaints. They say, the black man does not love us, does not respect us, give us something to submit to. Let's talk about it. By all means, I'm a black woman, so hear me when I say this. The unaware, naive, lost black woman is the new slave owner. And just like the white slave owner, she will pick out the smartest, hardworking, capable man for her to reap the benefits of. What can you do for me? There's nothing wrong with that, unless you're using it for the wrong reasons. Just like the white man, once she has sucked you dry, or once you become aware of what she's really doing to you, how she's putting you down, how she was taking from you but not putting in. And then you begin to argue and fight for yourself. And then she becomes unappreciative.
What more do you want from me?
She becomes more disloyal. She will talk you down, walk on you, spit on you, and tell you that you are replaceable and go to the next candidate. But these are people that we are talking about. These are our men we are talking about. Yeah, that part. So then let's take from that woman as well. That same woman is also the same thing that a black man does not trust. How could you marry your enemy? You say you need him so you can benefit off of him to put into your household. But these are also the same women that are saying, well, we have our own money now. We have our own status now. We have our own power now. But you are not using that to put back into your house. You are using that to keep for yourself. You are selfish. Yeah, that's right. You're selfish. Because you would take from that man and take your money and go put it up.
Black women are excelling. They're getting accelerated degrees, graduate degrees, doctorate degrees. They're starting businesses. Black women are running circles around men.
The difference between the women back then that were working that you want to talk about, because we've been working, we've been holding down. The difference is that the money was going back into the household. It was being combined with the man's money to lead a force front, not go against your household to break it apart. That's why they are leaving. Because you become disloyal. These are the same women that say stupid stuff like I agree to disagree, but also say things like I want a man to lead me, but also be the same woman that say, nah, but I got this, get out the way.
I say, as long as you got your own house, as long as you got your own transportation, and as long as you got your own income, it don't matter what a ninja got to say.
Does it make any sense? Not to me. You want to say, well, oh, well, give us something to submit to. Maybe give them something to protect. But you have to be able to listen. And listen does not mean control. Where'd that come from? Who came up with that? Who said, I want to control you? That never came out of their mouth. They said, you won't listen to me. What does that look like? You're not hearing. You don't want to see. You're being naive. I said, follow me. That let me control you. You don't want to be open-minded. But these are also the same women that's not taking accountability, making assumptions, and then coming up with their own false reality so they could have a reason to justify the behaviors that they are putting out to disrespect these men.
We listen and we don't judge.
Maybe black men might as well be the new KKK with fat booty lace front wigs and manicured nails. Why do I say that? Because you are still supporting the opposing team if you are against our men. If you can find a reason to argue with me for protecting our men, you tell me how you are not the op. Nobody told you not to be strong. You're just being strong for the wrong people. Nobody told you not to have a voice. You're just using against the wrong person. Yes, be strong. Yes, be passionate. But for your people, not against our own men. What part are, if we lose our king, game over? You have power, but you're using it for the wrong thing. They're giving us the rope to hang ourselves, giving us government assistance and money, anything to make us feel powerful, telling us to pretty much forget everything they do for us, telling us that he doesn't matter, telling us that we are more important than our men. And you take the bait. You take the bait. You do. And then after you take the bait, you do the dirty work. You start filling yourself. Instead of taking that money that you're available to make, to combine it, you're keeping it to yourself. Instead of uplifting that black man, you are talking down to that black man.
The hunt is on. And you're the prey.
You want that man to protect you. You want that man to love you. But you won't be loyal to him. You won't respect him. You want to yell at him. You want to call him out his name. You don't want to learn from him. You don't want to hear him.
Me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
You want to talk about all the things, that hardship that we women went through. Well, in the past, we were in the house and we were doing this and we were working. They was outside working too. When we was only getting paid this much, it was going right back into the house. It was working to put into the house. We've been working. But who are we working for? That's the question. There were so many things that was brought up that it just bothers me. You want to talk about child support? That's a scam and a hustle. You know damn well them kids don't see that money. These are also the same women that's pretty much saying that we don't need black men, but you're asking for his money. No, these are also women that purposely get pregnant or had control over getting pregnant and then decided, well, I want to slave the black man to me. So no matter how far he gets, he still owes me money. The government tells you he owes you money. But if you really cared about that man, spending time with his children, loving his children, putting it to his children, you would make the government, you would beg the government to make him pay time and not money. But it's because you are benefiting off that money, which is why you are pushing so hard for it.
I'm done with life, and it's all Jermaine's fault. It's always Jermaine's fault. I'm done.
Your closet is full of clothes. You have so many different items, accessories, cars. But the child's closet is empty. The child is hungry. The child has needs. You have yet to see that child have a better education, live in a better neighborhood. I want to see that child benefit, not you. But you're living off the black man's money. So which is it? Are you for us? Or are you against us? Because it's really starting to look like you want a debt relief program and a sponsorship. You want to use the black man, but you do not want to support or protect the black man, but you want him to support and protect you.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
The black man is not against us. He is protecting himself from a bunch of snakes. Because the moment we feel emotions of you're not doing enough of what I say, you're not doing enough of what I want, I'm going to be disloyal to you. I'm going to sell you out to them. I'm going to call them to come get you. to enslave you even more, to make your life even harder, and not realizing that I am putting myself in the hole to fall down with you. Because at the end of the day, the white man is not our king. The black man is. If the black man fails, we fail too. We are a reflection of our king. We are a reflection of them, and they are a reflection of us. So why are we going against our own household? Why are we going against our own men? If you can find a way to argue with me for protecting our black men, if you could find a way to feel some kind of way because I love our black men, if you are so stuck on yourself, on what I got and what I need, all I'm hearing out your mouth is I. But you love the black man. No, you don't. You want to use the black man. You say he wants you to be a white woman? No, he don't. He wants you to understand him. He wants you to listen to him. He wants you to respect him so he can honor, respect, support, and love you. You want to talk about femininity? How can you do that trying to be the head? It feels too good to have that kind of power, but you were never meant to be in that position. Use your power for where you're supposed to stand from. You really think these men gonna talk business with you? We ain't got no woman president yet. Baby, we will be left in the dark. So use where we are supposed to stand to our best of our ability to make a difference. Women are not meant to be the head. Accept that. Respect that. Because there's a lot of power in that too. The man might be the loud voice, but the woman is the whisper that makes the difference. Know your spot.
Of whites to live and attend school in the presence of non-whites, manifested by the patterns of black and white housing and education throughout this country, and indeed throughout the world, is seen, according to your thesis, in terms of the color confrontation thesis,
right,
as the apparent total psychological discomfort experienced by whites in situations in which they must daily face their color inadequacy when they confront their neighbors of color. You go on.
I predicted. Look, I wrote that in 1970. I said you cannot have integrated housing. You cannot have integrated schools.
You still believe that?
The evidence. I always look at the evidence. If Mr. Black and Mr. White live next door to each other, they have the same job, the same income, the same car, the same furniture.
Yeah.
They both walk out of the house in the morning. Good morning, Mr. Black. Good morning, Mr. White.
Yeah.
But Mr. White is still looking, but you've got something that I don't have.
You're saying he's saying that subconsciously.
Right.
And so,
if that doesn't answer you, if you still feel like you want to argue with me, then you are not for the black people. You are the op. You are the problem. You are the failure.
But one thing a man is not going to do when he is not feeling appreciated, he ain't going to complain about it. He ain't going to make no speech. Ain't going to be no announcements. He just going to jest. Here are 6 things a man will slowly stop doing when he knows that he is not being valued. Number one, he going to stop going the extra mile. When a man knows that he goes above and beyond for his wife, his family, or his woman, and he ain't being appreciated, it's pointless. Number two, he will stop sharing what's on his mind. When he knows that his ideas, what he says, are diminished or minimized, he's just gonna stop talking. Number three, he will stop being emotionally available. When you know that your energy of you opening up is not welcomed, then you just gonna stop. Number four, he will stop trying to impress you. The dates will get simpler, the surprises will fade. It literally will go from passion about you to obligation. Number five, they will stop initiating connection. They get tired of being rejected and they will take their energy someplace else. Number six, they will stop feeling peace at home. And when a man loses that peace, everything suffers quietly. One thing I know about a man, he is not going to pull away suddenly. It's going to happen over time. And when it does, that's when he will start to hear that he has changed, which is not true. Truth is, men do not change. They just adapt to how they're being treated. Appreciation fuels men, respect keeps them grounded, and peace keeps them present. Always remember that.
Obsidian said last week when I asked him about the gender war, he said women have been talking our lives and our fathers' lives and our grandfathers' lives. It wasn't considered a gender war until men started talking.
Exactly.
And to know how feminized the culture and society is and how everybody's been brainwashed by this. Ladies don't view men talking inherently as the problem. They view men talking in a way that doesn't agree with women. Doesn't talk only favorably and only highlight women's positive behaviors. Exactly. They're fine with that. That's why the panderers are taking all their money. That's why all the men that's in these on these microphones that are just telling women, girl, he don't deserve you, and if he won't do it, another man will, and you're reinforcing an ideology. It is nothing for her to change. The problem is the man. This is why so many of them think whenever a relationship ends, he's the narcissist.
Yes.
It's because they've been conditioned to believe. This is why so many of them don't apologize. Guys, if y'all see what we're talking about, it's rampant. The lack of accountability, the lack of apologies, everybody in my past is a narcissist. I felt threatened just because he disagreed with you. Men, they'll in the same sentence tell you about what a real man is and what men should do and what men's responsibilities are, and then also tell you stay out of women's business and don't talk about women. In their mind, it's not a double standard. The standard is we have one standard for women and we have a totally different standard for men, and it is a cohesive, it falls within the feminist gynocentric model. When you guys understand that, it's not just about a lot of them are willfully just doing this. They have been trained since young girls.
Yes.
To think and see the world through this lens. And how do we know that the culture has been feminized? Because when you go to other countries that are not westernized and have not been totally feminized, it is the exact opposite.
Yes.
It's the exact opposite. And it's like they'll simultaneously tell you why they'll reject a man. He's not tall enough. Like you said, he doesn't make six figures or more. He doesn't have a beard. He's not funny. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. And they'll have all these reasons for why they can disqualify you. But if they find out that you're dating outside of your race, culture, or outside of the country, they have an issue with that. And now they have to pathologize and say that you're evil and trying to take advantage of these women. It's because literally in their mind, there's a standard for women and it's a standard for men. And feminism and this whole gynocentric model was never about equality.
No.
It was always about female power and influence and the ability to shape culture to be at the benefit of and the advantage of women.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And what y'all heard is a short little montage that I was able to clip together just based on some of the, some of the things that are out here, in the atmosphere. Some of the talking points that are, coming through the ether that are pertinent to the climate, specifically, Black America, modern day America, you want to call it, because, they say when the white man catches the cold, the black man catches pneumonia. Well, I just wanted y'all to hear what some of the reactions are to this battle that seems ongoing. Every time it seems like it's going away or it's fading, it seems to be rejuvenated somehow, some way. And we know who's pushing the buttons because we know who benefit from the division of black men and black women. But we also know who benefit from the suppression of black men. All right. And so, before I get into that, like I said, welcome to Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And you are listening to us live on Philly Fridays at FetLife Station, FetLifeStation.com. Appreciate you tuning in. If you're not catching us live, then you're also catching us on the True Crime, the True Stories Podcast Network, all family though, True Crimes Stories Network, it's all family. But the True Stories Podcast Network, and also the LWAP radio. We on LWAP radio as well. For any of you who don't know what LWAP means, that means life without parole. And shout out to my main Suave Gonzalez for all the hard work he's been putting in, doing the ads and getting the commercials out there, and bringing a lot of juice to the channel, you know. So we appreciate that, all that hard work. Him, Brother Lester, you know, shout out to everybody that's getting it in. So, and y'all already know, you just can't leave. All right. And we got something different for y'all today, boy. Let me hear y'all trying to get out of here. All right. Yeah, we all at the door waiting for you. We're all at the door waiting for you. All right. But what y'all heard is, you know, this is what's been happening lately in terms of us having the conversation about the utility of black men, respect, and so forth. And you know, this is why we talk about these different aspects of, you know, just the value of men, which has been lost over time. It's taken a back seat. And, you know, I was having an interesting conversation with my good brother Patrick. And we were talking about how men, their presence isn't felt until their presence is removed. Nobody understands, and I understand that just because of the medical scares and things that I've dealt with over the past few months. It looked different on the faces of your family when you can no longer do the things you did, when you can no longer be Atlas, you know, the mythical figure that holds up the world. When you can no longer be that and you need somebody else to pick it up, it takes a lot more people to pick up the slack, and they still can't hold it down like you did. And I watched how me not being 100% and not being able to spring into action. I've heard over several occasions, you know, from my sister, from my cousins, everything. Yo, you Superman. They describe me to people who just meet me. Oh, he's like Superman. Because that's what it's like to have a man, you know, and just have a man available. And so, brothers, I want to talk today about your utility and recognizing how valuable your utility is. Because a lot of us just do it. We just see it as duty. We spring into action. I myself saw it as duty and spring into action. The difference is I'm recognizing the worth, the value of my time, of my efforts, of my energy, of my resources. And so, you know, holding people accountable to that. And basically, like the lady just said in the most recent clip, being respectful. You know, the lady in the first clip, the sister in the first clip, she was talking about listening to a bunch of feminists ramble about all the different things about what a real man is and how black men don't love them and this, that, and the other and all that BS. But what we've seen evidence is time and time again, until recently, black men tolerated more than any other man on the planet. And like, you know, I tell, and it's easy to say, listen, go back to the late 90s, early 2000s, and go to TED Talk, right? Look up TED Talk. Probably can find it on YouTube. You might even be able to find it on TikTok. Go to the TED Talk channel and look at how white women were talking about having to re-earn their men. They were talking about how to re-earn their men, because they tried the same feminist, you know, holding out on sex and all these tricks and all these games. Yo, those men started, they were the first passport bros. White men were passport bros since World War I. They went passport bros on steroids when their women started talking all this, you know, you're going to do domestic duties around the house. I'm not with 50-50 relationships, this, that, and the other. These dudes went over cheap. Specifically, they went to Asia and they went to Africa. All right? South America. They went all those different places and started populating those countries. Repatriating. There are repatriating communities, repatriation new communities in countries all over the world because the men left the women when the women got on their bullshit. Black men are just the latest group, but it was the least expected because black men have been so loyal. And that's something that's not discussed. They're always talking about, well, black women are the most loyal group of people, the most loyal demographic to their race. No, they're not. And I hate to say it like this because it sounds like I'm gloating when I say this, and I'm not. I'm just speaking the facts. Every different metric that's been out there to determine who is dating who or who is whose primary choice, who's the least chosen, has shown statistically when it comes to the men is Asian men are least desired globally. When it comes to the women, black women, specifically black American women, are the least chosen, the least desired. This is not groundbreaking news. This is something that's been known. So you can't say that I'm the most loyal when black men are your only choice. No other group of men are marrying black women at more than a 1% clip. White men don't even marry out as much as they used to. They don't. Now, I ain't gonna talk about making babies, because there's 2 million babies that are sired by that have been created through the womb of black women that have not been, you know, they were not seeded by black men. So they'll make babies with you, but they won't see you as a legacy. But you know, black men carry the utility for that. We carry the water for that. All these single parent households. And black men get blamed for the households where there's no children sired by black men. So brothers, I'm talking to you. Because we have held it up. We have held it down for a long time. Pulled in. We were the original stepdaddies. Forget the Brady Bunch. That was a blended family. We were the ones that pulled up. Y'all saw Claudine. She had 6 kids. And everybody was waiting on James Earl Jones to save the day. Y'all saw that. And yeah, she was fine, but 6 kids? Yo, no. He didn't bring any kids to that equation. So, brothers, what I'm telling y'all is start to think about what your worth is. And then also recognize how other people see you. Recognize how the women in our community see us. Oftentimes, Dr. Jeff James just said as he was talking to Dr. Tiasan Johnson, you know, it's like, it's always our fault. It's like the women in our community start from the pedestal and we start from the grave and we have to dig our way out of the grave just to, you know, be on solid ground. And while they're still shoveling dirt onto us and I know the remedial response is, oh, he hates black women. Nah, listen, we've been having this conversation. I've been having this conversation for over a decade. What I love black women, but what I also will demand is accountability and respect from black women. More so than any other woman, because we deserve that. You owe us that. Like the one sister said, black men have to, according in the eyes of the sisterhood, black men have to give them a reason to submit. No, lady, I was born here. The things I do are the reason you should submit. But choose not to. When we're outside together, and I say, all right, let's go, and you choose that time to be the time you don't submit, I leave and bullets start flying seconds later. Don't say that I didn't protect you. Your refusal to submit to an authority that was greater than yours put yourself in a position not where you needed to be protected, but you needed to be rescued. See, brothers, we have to start flipping the script here. We have to start turning tables on some of these conversations. Too often, I watch you brothers on these talk shows. I watch you on these cross table discussions. And y'all in there arguing. First of all, you shouldn't even need to argue. That's just one. You're not in masculine frame. You're sitting here arguing with women. You're just out of your masculine frame. And I tell y'all, shoot, as soon as I feel myself arguing with women, I just shut down. It's the end of the conversation. And I remove myself. And trust me, every time you do that, it will be felt. But no, you brothers argue with these women because you're not used to, you know, this, I ain't gonna hold you. For some of you brothers, this is a little get back for you. For some of you brothers want to get her back. She has been able for generations to berate you, to disrespect you, to disregard you, to be dismissive of anything you bring to the table. As if it's expected, not only expected, but it's your birthright. Well, then that comes with some benefits. Would you take a job when they treated you like that? When you got paid pennies on the dollar? Only if you were in jail. Only if you're on a plantation. And I say that because, brothers, we have to start getting to a place where, you know, our self-respect is self-evident. I'm going to tell you one place it's showing up. It's showing up at those, it's showing up at those speed dating events where they're, you know, calling people out and they're having these events. That's one place it's showing up. You have like 80 women in attendance and 6 brothers. And the brothers, I ain't going to hold you. Most of those brothers are there for 2 reasons. One, they're either there because they feel like, you know, they're going to have access to a lion's share of women because they already know nobody else is showing up. Or two, they're there just to observe the event, to observe the situation. Like those guys that were caught, those Israeli dudes that was caught on top of that building on 9/11, when they went home and they said, well, why were y'all standing out on a building waiting for those buildings to fall? They said, we were just there to observe the event. I know that went over a lot of y'all heads. Yeah, y'all better pay attention to the world as it goes. So, brothers, And I seen brothers now are not going on dates. Kudos to you, brothers. I'm like this, right? I'm not going to be pressured into a date. if we going out, it's because I want to go out. I'm not going to have nobody calling him, oh, you should take me out, or you know, meet somebody, and the first thing they think of is, you know, I need to see effort. As soon as I hear a woman say effort, I'm out. Because it means, if I'm talking to you, I'm giving you effort. I'm giving you my attention. And you got to earn the rest of that. Ain't nothing is a given in this world. Times have changed. Respect is paramount. Brother, self-respect is self-evident and self-president. You know, it's about self-preservation at this point. Because no matter what we do, you know, here's the crazy part, right? Black men didn't start any groups for like, you know, in terms of like enclaves or whatever. Black men, you know, black women went off and joined the feminist movement. Then they went off and created Africana womanism, which is just another branch of feminism. Because when I talk to sisters, they can't tell me the difference between feminism and Africana womanism. They can't tell me the difference. They can spew it a certain way. Well, this is about empowering the women. But every time I see y'all talking about what y'all shouldn't take off the men. I don't see the empowerment. I see the disenfranchising of what could be a black community. And let's face it, as I said before, the black community in America is a new creation. New in terms of how the other ethnic groups have orientated to this country. They came here with plans, dreams. They came here as a collective. They came here as whole families. Or they came here looking for families. They didn't come here in the condition we came here, in the bowels of slave ships. They weren't, you know, rounded up and assaulted and massacred like those of our ancestors who were already here. They didn't come from that place of pain, that place of separation, forced integration. They weren't from any of those things. So this is one of the reasons why it's so easy for us to say, man, I don't need them, and I don't need her, and I don't need him. Because we don't have a strong enough legacy that spans back a millennium to do so. Most of us can't find a bloodline one generation prior to the Civil War. No fault of your own. It's just because records weren't kept as well, and there were so many people, as I call them, prisoners of war, you know, black folk who were disenfranchised, moved about, separated, traded all over the place, names changed. After slavery, they couldn't even find half the families. Because by then, that person had a different last name. He took on the last name of the slave master. So, but I digress from that. One of the things that I think that we need to start focusing on, brothers, is this: we need to recreate and reestablish. Because the manosphere and the black manosphere is really, you know, the black red pill. And see how you got to say black before all these things? That means we didn't even create that shit. But it related more so to our experience than it did to anybody else's experience. And especially because of the difference in our circumstances. So, you know, brothers, y'all have to start seeing your power. You have to start seeing why you matter. And you can see it right now. I mean, listen, look at the black community over the last 3 or 4 decades. Since the, you know, specifically since the crack cocaine era. It targeted black men. Actually, it targeted the entire family. Because while it targeted black men, one of the casualties of war were black women. And you didn't have, you had babies raising babies. And then we've had several generations of crack babies. You wonder why it's so easy for some of our young people to resort to violent tendencies so quickly and go 0 to 60, you know, an escalating crisis all over the country. Think about the chemical imbalances that were generated from generations, genetic pooling of being of crack baby syndrome. And then you add that to the contamination, the chemical contamination of our neighborhoods and communities with chemical weapons such as fluoride, you know, lead poisoning. How our communities have a higher volume of lead per 1,000 gallons per gallon than any other community. Forced shrinkage gentrification, pushing us into those communities because they've reduced the affordable living for us. They've gerrymandered us out, not only out of properties, but also out of economic opportunities. And then generations, several generations of no men being in the house to stabilize it. You have to understand. And before, you know, we get into this whole notion of women talking about brothers leaving the families, going back to their grandmothers and great-grandmothers, let's also address the, you know, let's also address something else. A lot of times that man went to work and he came home and his whole family was gone. Now, of course, you'll hear, well, maybe he was abusing her. We don't know the circumstances. What we do know is that she relocated with all the children. That's what happened when you start seeing more black women in the workforce. And keep in mind, black women always worked, but they typically worked in somebody's house. When you start actually having a labor force, when you start actually having nursing and teaching jobs that paid a decent salary at that time, and they felt financially they didn't need to be up under the authority of that man, they bounced. There are stories. There's story after story after story talking about that. Hell, a woman that I recently knew within the last few years did it twice in two different marriages. That's within the last 10 years. The man came home. She got her other ex-husband to help her fill up a U-Haul and relocate. That man came home to an empty house and he was taking care of her and her children. Crazy work, you know. But listen, I got more in the clip, because fellas, I'll talk to y'all about your utility. I want y'all to check this just join out real quick, because I think y'all will find this one entertaining. Hold tight, man. This first time I've had to do this. Hold on. Check this out.
I've been thinking, Cole, why did I waste so much time with jerks? You were right here all along.
Right here. In the friend zone. For 8 years. While you dated the DJ, the personal trainer, and the struggling artist.
I was young. I needed to get that out of my system. But now I'm ready for a real man.
You are tired.
the bad boy stopped calling, and you need someone to pay for the lifestyle you can no longer afford.
Wow, that is harsh. I am choosing you. Isn't that what you always wanted, to be the one?
You aren't choosing me. You are settling for me. There is a difference between being a priority and being a safety net.
It's called growing up. I value stability now. I want to build a family with you.
You gave your best years to men who didn't care about you. Now you offer me the leftovers and expect full price.
You are so bitter. You should be happy I'm finally giving you a chance.
You think you are the prize, but at 32, with debt and baggage, you are not the prize. I am.
So that's it? You're rejecting me because I have a past?
I don't buy a car with 200,000 miles for the same price as a new one. No matter how much you polish the paint.
Enjoy dying alone, Cole. You threw away a good woman.
I didn't throw anything away. I just declined to be the recycling center.
Close the door on your way out. I am not a consolation prize. I am the destination. And you took too many detours.
You see, brothers, that's the mindset you need to have. You are not, you are the final destination. And if she took detours, she don't deserve you. They want your utility now. This is why, you know, a lot of women are waiting until they get in their 30s. They talking about they want families. All the fun times over. And the fun times aren't over now. The fun times aren't over. I just want y'all to understand that. They just need a solid place, like like Superman needed a, you know, fortress of solitude. Superman still came back for that action. They still out here for that action. That's why they go on those girls' trips, and I don't give a damn what any of them say. Oh, I don't indulge in all that stuff. My girlfriends did. Birds of a feather flock together. You'd be a damn fool to assume that something that... Man, I can recall, right? And it got to the end of a relationship. But this woman I was dealing with promised me. She said, yeah, we got a girls trip in New Orleans, and I'm going there. I said, okay, cool. Oh, you ain't got to worry about nothing. I ain't doing nothing them other hoes are doing. First of all, you're going with a bunch of hoes. You just acknowledge that. Then second of all, I'm going to FaceTime you just so you know I'm chilling. If I can trust you, why would you feel the need to tell me I can FaceTime you? And I've seen shit. I've seen people FaceTime while somebody's somewhere else in the room. I've seen that part. Like, the dude don't want... Listen, men don't want to be seen in those situations. He just want to pop and bounce. He just want access to your womb, anyone's out. Fellas, y'all know. And if you don't know, now you know. look, man. And, you know, especially, man, you know what I mean? It's crazy because I've seen it now. It's like women will pop up now, especially now that I'm up. You know, it took me a minute to get my bearings because, you know, I was kind of a late starter in terms of like securing the bag. But once I started getting the bag, and it ain't even really about the money, it's just about what comes with that, right? The security, the status, the guaranteed utility of being under his wing. You know what I saw more so than anything else? I saw a lot of ladies who realized that I was out of their league. It would be too much to deal with me. And they went about, you know, handling things and moving and doing things a different way. They would rather deal with the person who was less challenging to deal with. And like I said, the hey big head thing, like, you know, one of the sisters that came back 15 years later, hey big head. Oh, I need effort from you. I'm a I'm a boss chick, and I'm a, cut that shit out. I don't know who you're talking to. I am not that guy. I will be single until I drop. I will go monk before I get in a situation that's going to stress me out. My shit, the things I do day to day sometimes stress me out. I ain't trying to add more stress to the table or to my plate. Bro, hold up, man. I got something else, though. Because we talked about this, right? And I want y'all to check out our brother Corey Holcomb, right? He recently got a little dust up with Anton Daniels, but I'm not going to cover that because so many other people are talking about it. And quite frankly, I don't like really, I'm not a fight promoter of black men with each other. So I let all those other cats do that. And I'm just going to, you know, I want y'all to hear what he had to say about Mike Tomlin, who recently resigned from his post as the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Check this out.
This is what ain't being said. It's just like with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a coach who's been the Steelers coach for 19 years, and he did something that was quite amazing. When I say quite amazing, I mean quite amazing. He never had a losing season in Pittsburgh. And in the NFL with the politics and draft and everything like that, it is unheard of to be able to pull something like that off. This is what ain't being said. This is what they not going to say on these mainstream media podcasts. He's a wordsmith. He's a wordsmith. This has not been said about Coach Tomlin. He's a wordsmith. And you can tell he's a great motivator of men because he was never mediocre. And the way the NFL is set up, if you're not mediocre, you don't get to get the top players coming out the draft. So for 19 years, he was able to win in Pittsburgh without being able to get the cream of the crop draft picks. It's absolutely amazing what you did, Coach Tomlin. And, you know, I wish you wouldn't have left, but when you left and the way you left, I was like, my brother, good job. Job well done. This is what.
And that's something that's some, you know, that's Coach Tomlin, Mike Tomlin, honorable brother. Honorable. Listen, man. Honorable brother. Job well done out there. Job well done, Coach Tomlin, out there, you know, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because as Corey said, you know, I follow football. When you don't have a losing season, you're drafting in the middle of the first round at the earliest, sometime in late 20s of a 32-team league. And when you're always winning, you don't get the option to get the best draft picks. He works for a very conservative. He worked for a very conservative organization. They've only had three coaches in the entire history of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they didn't have a record of firing. You know, I think the brother, you know, won two Super Bowls, one as an assistant coach and the one as a head coach. And as a man, he stepped down. I'm not sure if he was asked to step down, but he stepped down from that position. Left that position and, you know, I would imagine he's going to pick it up somewhere else because he's still relatively young in terms of coaching standards. But that's a black man that we can say held up the image, the public image of brothers. He was a solid brother. He was strong. That brother was accountable. Even now with his recent resignation, you know, he is accountable. Because he thinks he's done as much as he could do for that franchise. So he's ready to give them a chance and an opportunity to bring some fresh new blood in. That's an honorable move. And he's not given or shown the deference that some of these other coaches are who've had terrible years. you know, teams tank, losing seasons, things of that nature, terrible seasons. Because, you know, black men are just expected to carry the water. So, shout out to Coach Tomlin. Shout out to Corey for even identifying that, you know. I think our women don't even feel like they should get to know us. Check this out real quick, right? Check this out real quick.
It's your responsibility to understand the history and the trauma of slavery.
And you was
one of your initial classes.
I'm gonna start that over.
I got this idea to tell you that you need to do your research, and if you are dating a black man, it is your responsibility to understand the history and the trauma of slavery.
And you was
one of your initial classes, one of the first classes you had, you noticed that it was predominantly non-black women who were going in there studying black men.
I started teaching a black male course because it was needed. You know, I noticed I started to get this population of white women.
Yeah.
I don't know why they were there. When I began to kind of ask them, you know, in the hallways, under the, why are you taking this class? And I started to find, my boyfriend is, and I want to understand him and his family. Or, you know, I'm trying to date some of the men on the basketball team or football team or whatever, but I don't understand them. So another 3 or 4 years after that, I noticed the population shifted from, you know, white women to Latinas. And the Latinas were coming in with the same kind of intensity.
You're literally telling me that you had a class that was dedicated to black men, where black women have an opportunity to study their men, understand what they're going through, understand how to relate to them better. And instead of us doing that, you have other women of other ethnic groups, other races going in, taking note, using it as ammo to get the quote unquote best men out there. So it's like,
I say that as I'm winding down, because it relates to the first clip that I played. Our women have never had to learn us, brothers. And we've never created the space until now. The standard of which they have to get to know us now. So many of y'all see, like, I don't tell people who to date, right? I don't tell people what their preference should be. I just say go where you're respected and go where you're treated well. Now, like I said, there are pros and cons with every situation you choose. You know, because there have been some terrible, terrible dilemmas that black men have found themselves in and an entire community in over the false accusations of the damsel in distress white woman. All right. So I'm not pushing y'all in any direction. What I am telling you to do is make people earn your time. Make people earn your utility. Make sure they recognize what you put out there. And if they can't earn your utility, if they take your presence for granted, then you should become absent in their presence. You know what they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Show people that they have to work for you. Show the ladies that they better respect you, or they won't be able to select you. So with that said, family, once again, man, appreciate y'all pulling up. Don't forget to check us out, the True Stories Podcast Network. We're looking for the advertisements that's coming out, the different media that's being pushed. And as I always say, brothers, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And I am out of here.